Into the Blender, episode 23.
Rawr.
Stop messing with me. You're not missing a thing. You keep going and I'm just showing that I never stop the thing.
You're listening to Into the Blender with your hosts, Chooch and Viv.
You can hear us each week discussing topics ranging from co-parenting a blended family to gaming to technology news.
And whatever else catches our fancy this week.
But it really doesn't matter at all. Love is such a reason to fall.
Hey folks, you're listening to Into the Blender and this is Viv.
And this is Chooch.
Well, we've gotten some enjoyable feedback from our BlenderCon episode. That was so fun, and I'm glad people that didn't attend it enjoyed it, hearing about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yay. I thought we would just do a rundown of some of the things, the high points of stuff that's been going on between the last time we recorded and now. Of course, we already covered BlenderCon.
I'll say we've...
We did a recap.
Between the last time.
Yeah. So, we said that LT's home, and it's been... fabulous having him home.
Yes.
The first week, their dad actually came back with LT and stayed for a week with his family. And the boys were going back and forth between us and them because they knew I needed to see my LT as soon as possible. So they came back and forth a couple times. We had him over for dinner. We had their dad over for dinner one night, made a big Mexican dinner and had a nice time. And then he went back and things have finally settled down. LT is just so affectionate.
Yeah.
It seems to me like he's more affectionate than he was. I mean, he's always been affectionate.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like he's more affectionate than he was before he left.
Definitely.
I think he really missed us.
Yes.
And not that I'm glad that he missed us, but I'm glad that he's happy to be home.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and right after that, we went to the Virgin Music Festival.
Oh, yes.
We took our two boys and then our nephew, who we call GK, RD's older brother. RD, post-surgery, has been recovering well, but we didn't feel, and his parents didn't feel comfortable with him going to an all-day outdoor music festival with
us. Two-day outdoor music festival.
Beginning of August, hot as heck. So we had to very guiltily leave him at home.
Yeah. But wasn't that also GK's present?
It was also his birthday present.
So
it was real. The tickets were over $200 a piece. So
yeah.
We contributed towards that for his birthday present. Then his parents paid the difference and kind of a reward for him because since Artie's been so sick and since his sister had the baby and things have been so chaotic, he has been really great about stepping up and helping out with the family and not complaining about being put on the back burner because it's an important time for him too. You know, he's
and his other sister had recently graduated and moved down, moved back in and moved out.
Lots of chaos.
So, yeah.
And he's just been the great kid that he is. So they wanted to reward him with something. And this was it, was him getting to come with us. And it was so fun. It started out rough because LT was really nauseous that morning and was just barfing and throwing up. And it finally got to the point where we got to go. We literally had to get in the car and drive or else we were going to miss one of the bands that was really important. And with his history, I mean, this sounds cold, but with his history, he gets this. Every once in a while, he just gets a stomach ache and he throws up and then he's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually when he's coming off a lot of junk food.
Yeah.
And he had just come back from his grandparents' house with his dad and they know better, but they still indulge him. So he had a really rough morning and we just brought his trusty little barf bucket. Off we went and he slept most of the way up there and felt okay, but once we got there he perked up after a while when we were finally able to get food into him, and then it was just a spectacular weekend. I mean, it started off with lesser bands like, you know, Katie Tunstall and, you know, stuff like that, but
Cat Powers,
who I'm annoyed because I didn't hear her song until after the concert because I probably would have gone and seen it. And Lupe Fiasco was one that LT was really excited about. He's on his rap swing right now. He swings back and forth between rock and rap, and right now he's on the rap side. And on the first day, there weren't as many bands that we wanted to see.
Right.
But over the entire weekend, I can't even remember now which bands were which days. But of course, the headliners were Nine Inch Nails, which set your heart aflutter, and the Boys. And for me, it was Foo Fighters, which I know was Saturday night. And Nine Inch Nails was headline on Sunday night. So we were so grateful when they didn't go head to head.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It also had Stone Temple Pilots, who have been trying to see for, what, 15 years?
I'd never seen him either.
And I can't believe I finally got to see him, and that, Scott Weiland wasn't in rehab or dead.
Held his stuff together long enough to give us a show.
Although I heard that he's on the Trouble track again, so I think we got him in that little window, because it was a spectacular show.
It was a spectacular show. It got better as it went on.
Yeah.
When he first came out, he was very aloof and kind of...
What the heck?
Here we go. We're singing. And it's like as the show went on, he got more and more into it.
It may have been overwhelming because they have been touring. But I think this is probably the biggest group. I mean, there was a massive amount of people there.
Yeah.
There was a huge audience that showed up for their performance. And I looked back at one point and I was like, holy crap, that's a lot of sweaty people. So I can imagine that might have been. I mean, I know he's a rock star, but he is also a shaky-kneed, you know, ex-addict. So that might have thrown him off. It was just a phenomenal show. The Foo Fight. And it's funny to me, the difference between, the thing that I see as the main difference between the Nine Inch Nails show and the Foo Fighters show is that the Nine Inch Nails show is so amazing. They put on such a phenomenal show with lighting and images and everything.
Crazy technology.
It is down to the second almost. It looks choreographed to this riff with this lighting, with this smoke effect. It was precise and immaculate and spectacular. But you also, with Trent, you also get the thing that I love so much about the Foo Fighters show, which is the raw performance. Every once in a while, they bring down all the special effects on Trent, and they hit him with that spotlight, like in that song Hurt. Is that what it's called? And he just gets that raw thing, which is what I really enjoy about the Foo Fighters. The Foo Fighters, on the other hand, they did a couple of things, you know, like lighting and stuff and a couple of images in the back. But it was a rock and roll show. And on the one, the thing about Trent's that makes it so phenomenal is that you know that he's got that down and you're going to see that same show with a few changes. And everybody gets to experience the same awesomeness. The Foo Fighters, they may have the same set list, but it's so raw and it's by the moment.
Right.
You know, he found some guy's keys and he's joking about this guy. Somehow he ended up with some guy's car keys on stage. They got thrown up or something like that. And so he's joking about taking his little, what was it, Celica or whatever.
Corolla or something.
So it's just
my year-end bonus. Got me a Corolla.
So it's just hilarious to me how different they are. But they're just both so amazing. And the raw rock and roll, I'm screaming up and down, jumping around, hollering all into it, is the thing that they bring out of me because it's such a raw, emotional, passionate performance. And you could say that that's not true about the Nine Inch Nails until you get to those screaming songs of his that just reach in your heart and pull them out. And you're going, Trent, how could you? It was just, they were like, oh, amazing. And Kanye West performed at the same time. And we're like, meh, whatever. I think our teenager went over because I think his girlfriend likes Kanye West. So he went over and took a couple pictures and then came back over. Because we were like, hell no, we're not. Are you kidding? Kanye West over Nine Inch Nails? I think not. It was amazing.
Well, no, it was funny because the Nine Inch Nails set finished
on before, time.
Yeah, on time. Kanye was going long. And at the end, Trent had said, well, I guess we'll get off stage so poor Kanye can have some people go watch him or something.
I read a review of the concert and they said that Kanye played until 10:30. He kept going and he finished. Remember we were saying, oh, he's going to be done any minute. He's probably played the song that you guys want to hear. Because there's that one song that everybody likes of his. It was the last song he played, but it was at 10:30.
Oh, wow.
We were a quarter of the way home by 10:30. And I do not regret that decision. I'm sorry. Because, you know, whatever. So it was, I mean, we saw Paramore. That was a great show. I'm a fan of theirs, not a huge fan. They're great, but they're not like, woo. We saw She and Him, which is the folky kind of group thing that Zooey Deschanel put together mm-hmm. with a guitarist and some other folks. And I just want to marry her or adopt her or have her adopt me because she was just the cutest thing ever.
Yeah.
And what was the cutest thing about Zooey?
She was just so happy.
She was so happy. And I thought the funniest thing to me...
people are watching us.
The funniest thing to me was that when she would... Okay, so folks, you've been to concerts. I'm guessing all of you have. You know when a song that you really love comes on and you get that kind of little hop? You're like, ooh, I love this song. She did that on every song. Right. The song, the music would start and she'd get this big grin and her eyes would get really big and she'd kind of start hopping a little bit. And it was just like, oh, that's so precious. I'm going to throw up.
Yeah.
I don't like the
so
music.
She's so cute.
I don't like the music, though.
I love her watching her act. Uh-huh. I love the movie she's been mm-hmm. in. And I love her voice,
yeah.
But I really hate her taste in music.
Oh my God. You guys, we've tried three different times to listen to that album
yeah.
so that we could buy it. It was like, oh, let's buy it, let's buy it. And then you listen to it and you're like, yeah, close.
It's just real 60s, 70s folk.
Like Petula Clark kind of stuff. Is that how you say it? Petula Clark?
I don't know who that is.
It's like the, I don't know, but it's not our thing.
No.
Yeah, we tried. But and I even loved watching her perform her
right.
music. I just wanted to cover my ears and go la 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 and watch her. She's so unbelievably adorable and mm-hmm. She's so charming and I just love her. But
that's
no,
a great voice. But
I hope she does something different on yeah. her next album if she does another, because you know the reason that they formed that band was he heard her sing that little slice of mm-hmm. Baby It's Cold Outside mm-hmm. with Will Ferrell in the movie Elf. And mm-hmm. the same thing occurred to him as to us, is that, God, she's got a beautiful voice. She should be singing.
Mm-hmm.
But then they picked that music. Fail. They should have done Baby It's Cold Outside right. with Will Ferrell. But yeah, it was great. And who else? God, who else did we see?
Well,
The Offspring.
There were some surprises to me that I hadn't realized people yeah. that were playing.
Okay.
Chuck Berry played.
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea Chuck Berry was even there.
I know, me either.
Bob Dylan played.
Yeah, we didn't go to that.
And, yeah.
But what was even cooler? Okay, so day one, we've been walking around. LT had been thrown up earlier that day. Mm-hmm. It was hot. Oh, the dance tent. We got to talk about the yeah. dance tent, too. And all this stuff was going on, and we're trying to see everything. There's all these tents and things like that of different, you know...
There's lots
save
of vendor
the,
things going on and
lots
of environmental stuff going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, so we're going around seeing all this stuff. And then we finally were just tired. So we went in front of where the stage where, because there were two stages. We mm-hmm. went to the stage side where Foo Fighters were going to be performing. And it was like 2 hours before they were going to go on stage. But we just like, oh, forget it. And collapsed on the grass and chilled mm-hmm. out for a while. There was a Beatles cover band that was playing. And we literally are laying down on our backs. Just chilling, listening to this Beatles cover band that was really good. Yeah. At one point, I said, my God, these guys are phenomenal. And I think I even tweeted about it.
Yeah.
And then a little later, one of the singers starts talking. And he has a very, very heavy Japanese accent.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically said, we don't know English. We're from Japan.
Right.
And then he lists the names of the bands.
We don't know much English. We know enough to say... Are you enjoying the show?
And then everybody cheered. It was amazing because you would, to hear them sing the Beatles songs, you would never know that they
right.
didn't speak English. They were amazing. And so even after that, I was like, guys rock. And they literally were from Japan. You could not make sense of what they were saying hardly
mm-hmm.
if they weren't singing the songs. And then Chuck Berry came on stage.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like, hello, this is strange. There were so many bands. It was so phenomenal. I'm just agog still. It was
right.
just the best experience, you know? And the kids just loved it. And it was 2 days and it was at Pimlico. So we, which is kind of near Baltimore, Maryland. We actually got two hotel rooms because there were five of us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the boys are big enough, the two older boys, you know, you got full size men practically.
Yeah.
So we got a room for them. And then we had a room for us and LT. We got back to the hotel and we crashed and got up and did the same thing the next day. And it was, I actually dropped M and GK off early because there was
right.
a band they wanted to see, the Hollywood Undead. And then we went back a little later. Who else did we
see? Well,
yeah,
LT and I got to sleep in and you were very nice to drop
them
off and
so
come
you guys
back.
Could sleep. Yeah, that sucked. But then we went out to breakfast too. Well, lunch. We went and had a real meal.
Yeah.
We went to Applebee's.
Applebee's, yeah.
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 So it was just a phenomenal
It was great
weekend.
That the kids got to experience so many different styles of music.
Yeah, and they're all into so many different styles of music. That was great. Yeah.
And there was the two stages that bands were on at the same time. Mm-hmm. And then the dance tent, which was all techno bands.
Which was all where Chooch's heart went a Twitter.
Yeah. And so I kept popping in and out of there. Mm-hmm. That's just the sound was so amazing that it's this stage, it's this tent. A lot of it's DJs, there's not much to look at.
Yeah.
Some of them have some pretty crazy elaborate light setups and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's mostly just, you know, generally a guy behind some turntables or with some synthesizers. And
you're really just watching the crowd with those kinds.
Everybody dancing, but the music and the bass, and just stuff. You feel it through your whole body.
Well, hell, you can feel it through your body at some of the other stages between songs, too. It's like, there's the dance tent.
So there were some bands that I really wanted to see and a couple that I hadn't really listened to before that I really liked.
Yeah.
But so what I really wanted to see, which I saw, you know, stuck around longer for, Underworld played, and they were pretty awesome. Dead Mouse.
Which I keep trying to call Danger Mouse because they're a cartoon. I keep going, Danger Mouse. Wait, that's not right.
Rabbit in the Moon.
They were awesome.
They were very good.
They were the ones that I saw, right?
Yeah, you saw part of that.
Yeah.
You saw them and Dead Mouse.
Yeah.
And they were the one with the dude had the crazy costumes.
Yeah. He was like Alien versus Predator or something, man. Right. Loved him.
Moby played a DJ set.
God, you know, I'm really mad about that, though. I gotta say, because I don't think I would have left the Nine Inch Nails show to see that.
Yeah.
But I thought that it was like a guy playing Moby, not Moby himself.
Right.
I would have gone and gotten some pictures of that though, and then gone back to the Nine Inch Nails show. I'll be honest. I would have done that.
I think those are the ones that I was really excited about. I can't think of the names of the other ones. Other groups or other guys, but they were all really good.
And LT got to really experience kind of the techno thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
He loved Danger. Death Mouse.
Dead Mouse.
Dead Mouse. Not Danger Death. No, Dead. All right.
Dead Mouse 5.
I am not... A techno girl. I think we know this.
Yes. That's okay.
But I did like the two that I liked that I'm afraid to say their names because then I'm going to mess them up. That's really fun, though. And then we came home late that night and GK stayed the night and we all tried to recover.
Oh, Iggy and the Stooges?
Which was, I mean, I'm not a huge fan, but it was just really cool to see him up there and kicking ass. He's like the great, great, great grandfather of punk. And there and he was whooping ass.
Nonstop motion.
Yeah. Giving Scott Weiland a run for his money.
Totally.
And then I think it was the next weekend that Biscuit and Calf came to visit.
Could be.
Biscuit was on Culture Cast and they're on, I think it's a hiatus. I'm not really clear on whether or not they're coming back or not. But so we met him at RavenCon and then we hung out with them at Balticon. And we've been gaming with them in City Heroes. And he's just... such an awesome guy.
Yeah.
And he's so funny. He's painfully funny. You know, we laugh so hard when we're with him. And so we finally got him to come visit and he brought his awesome girl, Calf. And they got here. Oh God. It was a bit of drama when they got here. They got the LT went to go stay with his grandparents that weekend for an aunt's birthday party on that
side. Right.
And M was staying here, but he had stuff going on all weekend. So Biscuit and Cap came in like at 11 o'clock at night on Friday night. They drove up after work from where they live. And I had to get in the car and go pick up LT because he decided he wanted to be home rather than be there. Nothing happened. There was no fight. There was no problem. He just really missed us. He'd only been home for like a week.
Yeah. So he was away at his dad's for 6 weeks.
Out of state. Yeah.
And then, yeah, had only been home for a week and then boom.
Yeah, because he was home for a week, but he was most of the time at his dad's parents' house. And then we had a couple of days and then the concert or after the concert. So he really hadn't been home. He was just homesick. So he got there at like 5 o'clock and then I went and picked him up 6 hours later and it was like an hour and a half, 2 hours away. So it's like 3 hours round trip. So they get there and I said, I'm really sorry. This is very rude. It's very nice to meet you, Kath. Hey, Biscuit, missed you. I got to go. I gotta go pick up my kid. And it's like, what? So Kath actually offered to come with me. Well, first Biscuit did. And it was kind of like, well, you guys just got here and he had driven and Kath offered to come. And I was like, but you worked all day and you just drove. And she's like, that's okay. I'm just going to be sitting anyways. So she got in the car. We had never met before. We never talked before. And we spent the next 3 hours driving to and from getting to know each other.
Yeah.
And I kept apologizing. I'm so sorry. I know you just got here. And, you know, and by the end of the weekend, she had said, or no, that by the end of that night, she said, I'm not glad your son was upset, but I'm really glad he wanted to come home because we never would have gotten to bond right. so much if we'd just been sitting in the living room talking because we just literally talked to each other the whole time.
Yeah.
It was really, she's so cool. Yeah. And we have so much in common. She's such a good person and she's so funny. And I really like them together.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a lot of fun having them up. And then the next day, I felt bad because after staying out so late, I think we got to bed at like 2 a.m., 3 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to get up early to go to a party at Brand and Allie's and their daughter Elf Princess at their house. And we kind of had to get them up early. And I felt bad, but we had already said we were going to this party and there's no way I was going to miss it.
Mm-hmm. And we had made it a surprise to everybody else. We didn't let anybody know that Biscuit was coming into town.
I had actually contacted Allie just to make sure because it'd be one thing if it was just her and Brian, but they have a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they're like me, they want to know who's coming to be around the kids. You know, I just didn't feel right just showing. It's, you know, it's one thing to say, surprise, somebody that I know you're BFFs with. But I knew they didn't really know each other.
Yeah.
And so I did contact her and say, is it okay if I bring him to your house, you know?
Right.
And she was like, sure, bring him. She did remember him from Balticon and thought he was cool and stuff. So she was fine with it. So she was the only one. Her and Bran were the only ones that knew. It was a surprise for everybody else, though. Go ahead.
We got there and it was a potluck.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody brought different stuff. We're like, look, we brought Biscuit.
And other stuff. We didn't just bring somebody to eat more food.
True. We did bring food.
It sounds bad. We brought him and no food.
That was a great party. Oh, lots of great food.
Yeah. Well, Brand has the video podcast of Calls for Cthulhu, which we've talked about before. And he and his girlfriend and Elf Princess are just so awesome and fun.
Mm-hmm. The usual suspects that we've been hanging out with all summer, which is
the same list as BlenderCon, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. They're mostly. Just all such amazing people.
Yeah.
Speculative, political, different conversations that I can't have with my family, that I can't have with coworkers.
Right.
It's just amazing to have this group of people that have the same interests and the same, not the same ideas, because we have very different ideas of things.
And different perspectives and beliefs.
But everybody respects what everybody else has to say.
Absolutely.
And everybody adds such insights that it makes you think about things differently. So it was a great party. And we got to go into the basement and see Cthulhu's lair and see where the magic happens.
I didn't get to see where the magic happens. I was too busy socializing. I really wished I had. Somebody said something about going into the basement for gaming. And I was like, oh, cool.
That was the intent. There were some tables laid out to do some board games.
Yeah.
And nobody ended up really playing anything. No. Everybody just ended up talking.
We ended up talking.
And the kids were on the video games.
Yeah. But if I had known he was showing the studio, I would have gone and looked because I'm so curious about that. He's got the whole video podcast with the green, or is it blue screen or green screen?
Green.
Green screen behind him and everything. It was really cool. We kind of all migrated outside, just kind of a couple of us went outside. I saw Biscuit and Kath and I think Cammy Cat outside, or maybe she came out later, I can't remember, but we were outside talking and then more people came out and then more people came out and then Jet went and got a blanket out of her car and then more people came out. People were sitting on the grass, people were sitting on the steps, people sitting on blankets, standing around watching Elf Princess run around and frolic. And it was just awesome. And their dog, they have dogs, and one of them named Jasper.
Yeah.
The Sheltie was just adored by
all. So cute. He was entertainment for the day.
It was funny because when you looked across everybody's Flickr feeds, it's almost like there were more pictures of Jasper than anything else. And you know, that reminded me of our wedding pictures where there were more pictures of our cake than were of us.
Yeah.
Because our cake was so cool. So it was just a lot of fun. And we all ended up literally sitting on the lawn for hours. It was a beautiful day and just having a great time. And literally we didn't want to leave. Yep. And we had a 2-hour drive home and Biscuit and Kath were exhausted.
Yeah.
So we headed home, and I think we ordered pizza that night and just hung out and talked and watched TV. And LT had a great time. LT and M just adore Biscuit and Cat. Mm-hmm. So I was really glad to see that, kind of like with Heather and Mark, too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's really cool to see that, you know, at first when we had talked in previous episodes about how they were kind of leery, have friends now? Yeah. This is all very confusing. They like them now. The confusing part has passed.
Yes.
And now we get stamp of approval.
And
on
these
people.
Adults actually like play the games that they like to play. Yeah. Wow, they're into World of Warcraft they're into City of Heroes.
Because Sunday we were doing a listener meetup for City of Heroes when Biscuit and Kath were here.
Right.
Biscuit plays with us, so he logged on to LT's computer. LT was kind enough to share. Or no, he put his laptop up there.
Yeah.
So Biscuit was in the listener meetup with us, and M was letting Kath play his computer because she plays WoW, and he's just like, cool, you know, because that's the like third person that plays WoW out of our group of friends. And I think they're just shocked.
And it's not just like, you know, the lame adults trying to play a game. She has 70s.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah. So the kid, they all get cool points with that stuff. So it was so fun. And the listener meetup was a lot of fun too. It was chaotic as always, but you know, it's going to be. So they hung around for a little while after the listener meetup, but then they had to head home, and we just basically all decided that we didn't want them to leave.
Yeah.
It was like this big, but we're having fun, but I don't want you to go. And Kath was like, but I don't want to go. She and I just became really fast friends after that bonding that we had Friday night. They had to go home, back to the real world. And when they left, we were already planning their next visit.
Right.
It was like, okay, you guys come for my birthday, please. And they said yes. And then it was, well, we might be having a party, Dragon Con weekend. So if you wanted to, and she looks at Biscuit and she goes, oh yeah, we can do that. Can we come, Biscuit? And he was like, yeah, sure. And I was like, cool. So before they even left the house, we had two more visits planned.
Right.
Yay. And I think it was the next week or two that we found out the finalists for the Parsec Awards.
Yeah.
And our City of Heroes podcast made the finalists, the shortlist as it's called. So we were very excited, and I immediately went back at diving headfirst into the budget, trying to scrape together enough pennies to go.
Right.
And we found that we could do it, especially since one of our awesome listeners to that podcast offered us crash space. But it came down to, are we really going to drive like 10 hours each way to be there for one night?
Right.
For an award that we probably aren't going to win.
Mm-hmm.
And then we won't want to leave once we're there.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of time and a lot of money on a weekend that just didn't have any play. We didn't have any room to play because the boys were starting school on Tuesday.
Yep.
So we decided not to go, which sucked. And we had that same listener was going to be our proxy in the small chance that we did win, which we didn't.
Nope.
But we went ahead with BlenderCon, and Biscuit and Kath came up, and you heard all the details about that. It was a blast. Right before that, though, we got to go have dinner with Pip.
Oh, right. Philippa Ballantyne.
Yeah. She had said something about where she was going to be staying, and you said, oh, that's like 5 minutes from my office.
Yeah, that's like 5 minutes from that was wink, wink.
Yeah. And she's,
Back, well, what are you doing for dinner?
Which was awesome because I was trying not to crowd her. I was hoping to meet her while she was here since we weren't going to Dragon Con. And she was like, well, what about dinner? And we're like, done. And then nobody else. It really surprised me because we did this whole thing in Twitter one night.
Yeah, it was all open.
The night before. And it was just like conversation. And I was waiting for people to pile in.
Because Pip had said, who else
wants
to meet?
And so, you know, it wasn't like a private conversation in DMs. It was public. And she said, who else wants to meet? Nobody else jumped in. And it was like, well, that's weird because we've all been like waiting for her to get here.
Yeah.
So the next day, though, we had Heather and Mark and Paul and Martha want to come. So they jumped in, too. And we just ended up heading out and having dinner. It was so fun. She's just everything you expect her to be. She's funny. She's so smart. She's so gorgeous. She's just a hoot.
Yes. That was a great dinner.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Although I made her wait at the airport for or at the hotel for half an hour because I got a little lost. Okay, so Google Maps. Anytime you are mapping your way to a hotel, call the hotel and make sure their address is what their address says, and that it's on the cross streets that Google thinks it is. Because for some reason, when we were trying to find the hotel after the concert, Google sent us way the opposite direction to a scary place in downtown Baltimore.
Yeah.
And when it was sending me to Pip's Hotel, it sent me way around the other side of an airport and just, way off track. And I never have problems with Google's directions going anywhere except apparently hotels.
We just need to go to the hotel website and get their directions, because hotels always give you directions from the main thoroughfares.
So she didn't seem too sore, though, because in New Zealand, it's winter and it's summer here. And so she got to sit out in the sun and have a nice, some nice quiet time and wasn't too disappointed. But I felt really bad.
Well, and I ordered her a margarita right away, so I think she was okay.
Yes. A and watermelon margarita.
Yeah, which I'd never heard of, but she seemed to enjoy. Yes. I don't know. Then I think it was the next weekend we did a 5K. In Manassas, there was a 5K, and I was excited because it was the first one that I was able to, like, run.
Right.
And I made the rookie mistake. You and LT went with me and was like, whatever. But you and LT went, and you planned on walking. And I planned on running it as much as I could. I knew I wouldn't be able to run much. I was only on week two of the Couch to 5K and not running that much, worried about my knees and stuff. And I went ahead of you guys and went closer up with the runners. And I thought, okay, do the Couch to 5K program and you'll be fine.
Right.
So I got up there and I was fiddling with my iPod trying to get it started. And then the gun, the starter, whatever horn went off. And everybody around me started running and I panicked and I started running. And I just got all caught up in the excitement and I started running. So I had done stretches, but I hadn't done a warm up. And I just started running and I ran for as long as I could. And then I couldn't run. No, I did run two more times, but it wasn't like that first push. I walked the majority of the race, but I did run quite a bit at the beginning.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the improvement over the time that I was hoping for, but it was an improvement.
Yeah.
It was like a 15 minute improvement. But I had only walked the other one. So that's not a huge improvement, but it's a good one, I think. So I'm proud of that. As long as I improve every 5K, I'm going to be happy.
And we had walked this one. I had walked the first one, and we walked this one and improved our time by like 8 minutes, which I was pretty happy with.
Yeah, just walking, So that was, it was cool. It was great that LT did it with us, and then they did raffles afterwards.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody had a ticket, and we almost left, and we thought, oh, let's go back. We went back, and you and LT each won a LT won. He was kind of disappointed with what he won. It was an ID. It's an ID thing for runners. It's got your, like, you can have your name and stuff.
Reflective surfaces.
So if you get hit by, it's highly reflective, but it's also got your personal information. So if you get hit by a car while you're out running, they know whose family to call. He was kind of like, oh, great. But then you want a gift certificate to Uno's too. And I'm like, just what you need after a run.
Right.
A big pile of pasta. So that was really cool. And I did want to say before we take a break, play a promo and go on to emails, that I wanted to tell everybody to check out the new Form Letter Rejection Theater for episode 2. We're in that one as well as the first one. And they're both really good stories.
Yes.
And we're in it. So, you know, but really there's a lot of super cool people in it. The stories are really good. She did a great job putting them together too.
Yeah. The first episode.
Quality's awesome.
Yeah. The first story had a very small cast. It was just a handful of people. This one has a very large cast and she's got some really stellar people.
I know.
In it.
I was so excited to hear all the other voices that were in there, because I didn't know who all she had cast. I knew a couple people, but it was just like, whoa, cool.
And once again, the production's really, really well done.
Yeah. She works really hard on it. You can really tell. Great job. Great job. So play promo and come back with emails.
All right.
The President of the United States is dead. He was murdered in the morning sunlight by a 4-year-old boy. So began J.C. Hutchins' Seventh Son Patio Book Trilogy, the most popular podcast novel series in history. Last December, the trilogy concluded. The heroes were triumphant. or so we think. But now, it's time to go back and reveal moments in the Seventh Son story that were merely hinted at in the original trilogy. Welcome to Seventh Son Obsidian. J.C. Hutchins has opened up his Seventh Son universe and invited the seven biggest names in podcast fiction to chronicle a nationwide blackout that rocked America during the Seventh Son trilogy. Seventh Son Obsidian features short stories from these award-winning and nominated authors: Michael A. Stackpole, Scott Sigler, T. Morris, Mer Lafferty, Matt Wallace, Mark Yoshimoto Nemkov, and Christiana Ellis. And even more tales from these trailblazing podcast entertainers: Evo Terra, Dan Klass, Wichita Rutherford, George Prom, TD0013, Soccer Girl, and the cast of The Radio Adventures of Dr. Floyd. Obsidian also features dozens of audio and video recordings, stories of the blackout as told by its victims, created by Seventh Son fans across the globe. On May 31st, the lights go out. America becomes a police state. Because when the power fails, chaos reigns. Subscribe now to Seventh Son Obsidian, or catch up with the original Seventh Son trilogy experience at jchutchins.net.
Wow, 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 wow.
I'm leaving that in.
Welcome back. Time for the email. The email. Email. What? The email.
Too much caffeine.
Homestar Runner.
So the first email, we actually have two. The first email is the one that we've been hitting the snooze bar on. Here goes.
Email is from Daryl. And reads, "Hi, guys."
Hi, Daryl.
I'm a recently new subscriber to your podcast, and it's taken me some time to get caught up on all the old episodes. Mostly listen on my 45-minute commute to and from work.
That seems like a dream commute to you, doesn't it, honey? 45 minutes is a long time. Don't misunderstand me, but it's like half your commute. You'd pay dearly for that.
Yes. I like your shows and have gotten some useful information from them. Now that I'm only two episodes behind, case is probably different now.
I think he's probably caught up.
I feel I can ask a question and not have a long wait to hear what you've got to say. As we mentioned, he did send this quite a while back.
Yeah.
My wife and I have been married for nearly 6 years. Each of us brought into the family one daughter, and they are only 6 months apart.
Hmm.
We've went through the adoption process and have adopted each other's child.
I love that.
Yeah. And just got the new birth certificates in the mail yesterday.
Congrats.
10 years ago. Yeah, congratulations.
It's like a month ago, I think, that we got that. I know, I'm just kidding. It's pretty bad.
My first wife passed away when my daughter was two. My wife was never married before, and the father of her daughter was never in the picture. Okay, now for the question. I try my best to treat each of my daughters the same, taking their different characteristics into consideration. I'm extra careful not to harshly treat my newest daughter, ex-stepdaughter. And to not hold back with my original daughter. Even though I take extra care to treat them nearly equally, my wife only seems to notice the times that I scold my newest daughter, and never seems to notice when I scold my original daughter. This has caused us to have some heated arguments. I'm frustrated and cannot figure out if I'm really treating them differently, as my wife believes, or if she just seems to ignore my interactions with my original daughter and scrutinizes my interactions with my newest daughter. Do you have any suggestions or personal experiences along these lines? Thanks for the podcast and any help you might have, Daryl.
First, I will say probably yes to both. You are probably a little more forgiving of your daughter, and your wife is probably scrutinizing your interaction with, you know, mm-hmm. with your new daughter closely.
Or it's possible you're more used to your daughter's behavior, so.
And that was the, yeah, go ahead.
So you don't notice it as readily, maybe.
Yeah, that was one of the things I was going to say is that and this is a problem, an issue
mm-hmm.
that we have. It's a little different for us.
Yeah.
Because my two from a previous marriage live with us.
Mm-hmm.
We are day to day, you know, in the trenches, you know, take out the trash. Did you do your homework? You know, got to take them here, got to take them there. They, you know, it's literally minute by minute, day to day. And with your son from your previous marriage, he lives on the other coast.
Right.
We don't spend that much time with him where we would have situations come up where discipline's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Virtually no time where discipline is necessary. Yeah. We don't, you know, he doesn't live with us. We don't see him as much. And it's one of those, the daily grind that you get into that causes those little flare-ups.
Right.
We don't have those. It's a lot
different.
It's night and day.
When we're with Jay, it's like we're going to Disneyland.
It's vacation time.
Yeah.
It's playtime. So there's not ever, you didn't take out the trash.
Yeah. We don't get any of the stuff his mom has to go through with.
Day-to-day stuff. Yeah. So that is a problem for us in that, you know, it seems imbalanced because he never gets disciplined because he doesn't ever need to be disciplined. I can't think of any time that we've ever had to say, now, Jay, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And with ours, it's daily because they're right here. My kids from my previous marriage are just as well-behaved and good-hearted and kind and loving as Jay is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the light that's, you know, it's the difference in the actual dynamics of the relationships in the day-to-day.
Yeah.
So that is hard. And one thing that I would say, knowing what our experiences have been, is that I know my kids' strengths and I know their weaknesses and I know where their emotional triggers are better than Chooch does. And Chooch has been living with us for 5 years, over 5 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows them extremely well. And because, and I don't say this to diss their father in any way, shape, or form. This is not a disrespect. This is not a minimizing of his relationship. But you know those boys better than he does because you live with them day in, day mm-hmm. out, every day of the year, except for 6 weeks during the summer, 3 weeks for M this year,
right,
and a couple of weeks sprinkled out throughout the year. Mm-hmm. So for 40 plus weeks out of the year, you're there day in, day out, mumps, lumps, you know, mosquito bites. And so you know them very well. And even that said, I still feel protective of them in a way that Daryl's wife probably does.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's just a mom thing, because Daryl doesn't seem to have the problem with his wife interacting with his daughter from, you know, his right. previous relationship.
Yeah, it doesn't mention anything about her.
And that it seems that the perception is like it is in ours. You don't have a problem with my interaction with Jay.
Mm-hmm.
Partially because, probably wholly because I've never had a situation to, and because he doesn't know me that well, I wouldn't feel comfortable disciplining him even if something did come up. It's different in ours mm-hmm. because you are there every day and there are times that you have to discipline. You do have to say, turn that off and go to bed, or no computer for a week, or this, that, or the other, because you're here, you're co-parenting.
Mm-hmm.
It is possible that she is more protective. And I don't know if it has something to do with carrying the baby in your body and you're protecting it from the immediate first moment from unhealthy, you know, medications and injury, and you're protecting this thing as it's developing, and it kind of carries through motherhood after the baby's here. You're always mm-hmm. constantly protecting and defending and making sure they're safe and this, that, and the other. Not that fathers don't do that, but I think that it's one of those things that goes with pregnancy, that you are, as soon as you right. find out you're pregnant, you almost, mentally and physically put a barrier between your belly and the world. Literally. I mean, mm-hmm. I remember going to the grocery store with my arms locked on the shopping cart because right. one time I went, a woman pushed a cart into my stomach. So every time I went to the grocery store or the shop after that, I had like an iron grip on the shopping cart so nobody would be able to push a shopping cart into my stomach. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Protect yeah. the baby, protect the baby. I don't know if that's it. I don't know if it's just, maybe it's from when I was a single mom and it was just me and them against the world.
Mm-hmm.
But there are times when you've disciplined them, or I can't even remember specific things, I'm sure you can, where I didn't react well to your interactions with them.
Yeah.
Your completely rational and logical interactions with them that for some reason set something off with me, made me protective of them.
Yeah.
Whether it was your phrase, your tone, your body language, I'm very empathetic, I guess, mm-hmm. to their weak points and the things that push their buttons. And in a hurtful, I mean, there's discipline and then there's hurtful. And I think I'm very protective of those, even though I don't think that you've ever hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do let's be very clear. We don't do physical discipline at all.
Right.
Let's just make that very clear. I don't spank my kids, have never spanked my kids. It's just not something that I've ever believed in. And you are a believer the same way, mm-hmm. which is one of the reasons we get along so well. No, I'm not going to judge anybody that spanks. My sister-in-law spanked her kids. I don't judge. I don't agree with it, but I don't judge.
Mm-hmm.
She thinks the same way about me. She doesn't think timeouts work. I think my kids right. are just fine. So, but we do not believe in physical punishment. It's all, you know, other things. You can't do timeouts with a 17-year-old.
Right.
You take away their computer. You take away their instant messaging. Right. You take away their cell phone.
Yeah.
Take away the TV. There's other things that you have to do. You ground them, you restrict them, that sort of thing. Those are the things that we do. And I've never had a complaint with what Chooch has done discipline-wise with setting up a punishment. So, I mean, what's your perspective on my...
Well, I was going to say, it doesn't even necessarily have to do with discipline. Sometimes I will see something, notice something, bring something up that's negative because the kids did something mm-hmm. bad.
Mm-hmm.
There was some kind of behavior, there was some kind of thing
mm-hmm.
that I mention.
Mm-hmm.
And... it's like you don't even hear me or hear what the issue is. You're immediately defensive of whatever they were doing, or that's the hard part for me. So I'm at the,
so it's you know, more I get to the
point
discipline.
Where I'm yeah, so I get to the point where I'm just well, I'm just not gonna say anything. Mm-hmm. I feel like I can't bring it up because you're just gonna think I'm being critical of them. When it's not that I'm want to be critical, it's that something I perceive as bad and something I think we need to address, but we can't really talk about it.
Wow. We're really stripping away the layers here, aren't we? Are we sure we want to post this? I think that, again, it's the protective thing that I talked about before.
And honestly, we've pretty much
that's
left,
all it is.
We've pretty much left all of the discipline up to you, where I'll see something and I'll raise an issue to you. Or you see something, and it's generally not that right there on the spot we say, okay, you're grounded for 6 months, whatever. Generally, we go behind closed doors and we confer and we decide what we think is fair.
Which is a big benefit to them, because my first reaction is always like, off with their heads. You know, I do not. And I think I finally got M to understand this. You can't hit me with something and then expect to like my first reaction, because it's not good. I am very much, unfortunately, my father's daughter in that my first reaction is, give me a minute, let me percolate, and it'll be fine. But but I really need to take that moment. Now, mm-hmm. if it's a crisis, somebody's hurt, somebody needs medical attention.
Well, that's different. Yeah.
That's different. I do great. I prove that with mom. Yeah. And all the other medical crises that we've had.
Yeah.
But if it's anything that's not, then I'm just like, you know, spaz. And then take a moment and then I'm fine. So it's really good for them that we do take that. Okay, mm-hmm. all right, rawr, go to your room while we determine your doom. And we come back and I do listen to you because you temper a lot of the punishment. Very frequently you temper me and just kind of, well, you know, this is normal. Right. You need to talk to him and explain it, which I know, but
yeah.
You're the other side
is that is when I bring something up, I feel like you go on the defensive.
And I do. And part of it is because we've said that we're not going to name names on the ugly stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to. But there are some people in their lives that are not very nurturing,
mm-hmm.
are not aware of who they are as people,
right?
Are very critical of them and they tend to push them out of childhood
mm-hmm.
into being older than they are, demanding more of them, expecting more of them. And so it's been like that for years,
mm-hmm.
many years. And I am protective of that. And I am sure that that causes me, that reaction that I have to those behaviors
mm-hmm.
are very likely, at least partly, if not mostly, responsible for that protective nature. Part of it, I'm just going to chalk it up to being, you know, their birth mother. You're not their birth father.
Mm-hmm.
You are their father in every other way. I definitely consider you a co-parent along with their father and I.
Mm-hmm.
And it reflects nothing of you. And that's the hard part I have, is it's that I know you love those boys. I know you love those boys. You have sacrificed and done so much. And when they are hurt, nobody is there fighting for them more than you. And you've proven that from our first weekend together, as we've discussed on one of our first episodes when we got together, when LT got sick.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I don't doubt that, or your devotion or your love or your willingness to fight for them. But it's that protective nature in me. And it's one of those things, people step on me all the time. Y'all would not believe the crap that I take in my life. I have such a hard time speaking up for myself.
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody is dismissive or hurtful or disrespectful of someone that I care about, oh man, I kind of lose it. And even if it comes from a good place like yours does, mm-hmm. I still lose it. And I don't know that that's just about the boys. I think that's about everybody that I love. Because look at what we just went through. There's this scheduling issue that we had. I'm not going to give a lot of background because it's names and stuff. But we recently had a scheduling conflict with a friend of ours
mm-hmm.
and then another person. And I was like, fine, whatever, forget it. I'm just going to change it to another day. I don't care. It's fine. Whatever. But then I felt like my friend got disrespected and I got pissed.
Right.
So it's like that not only was my thing disrespected and pushed off, which is, I was fine with that. It's like, whatever, I'll just do it another day. It's fine. I just don't even want to think about it. I don't want any drama. But when I felt that she was disrespected, I flew off the handle a little bit.
Yeah.
Raging, you know, kind of, you know, how rude, how unbelievably, you know, thoughtless. And
mm-hmm.
I think that that's something about me that is magnified because it's the kids.
Hmm.
And I know that that's something I need to work on, because I know that what comes from you comes from a loving place. And you don't come to me going, so-and-so did this. You're like, you know, this happened.
Or, oh, I found something.
Yeah. It's not like that at all, you know? And so, I don't know. So Daryl, yes, it's a common problem. And ours isn't even with discipline, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just that dynamic. And it's just one of those things that I'm working on. It's just been really recently that this has been really rearing its ugly head and
mm-hmm.
really become an issue for us. Luckily, we're able to talk about it. And I think we're dealing with it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, like everything else, the most important thing is to talk about it.
Yeah.
And to not talk about it when it happens.
When you're pissed and I'm pissed.
Right. That's right. Very important.
Yeah.
You can't be in the heat of the moment and bring it up. This is what I've been thinking. You know, yeah. This is what I've been talking about. You can't do that.
You have to come at it in a safe like environment, a safe, mm-hmm. nurturing kind of a moment. You have mm-hmm. to make it a safe place to share, I think.
Because if for us, we never have any of that in front of the kids.
Ever. Never, ever.
Our discussions, our dissensions, our arguments are between us.
Yeah. And
everything to the kids is a united front.
Yeah. I totally agree. We work really hard on that because I think it gets confusing otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you get the
kids are smart. And
so can
play,
I do this
yeah.
and that? And to be once in play a while, they've the gotten other. Away with it every once in a mm-hmm. while. But then we come down like, like Thor's hammer on them. And they don't do it. They know that if one says it, then that stands.
Mm-hmm.
And if they want to try and negotiate, they know they need to get the two of us together.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that works well for us. We have really good kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't try to manipulate us. There's been one or two things, mm-hmm. you know, teenagers growing up and trying to get what they want,
yeah.
you know, but generally they respect us and they understand how we work.
Yeah.
And I am quick to defend. And that's true of you. That's true of them. That's true of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody that's in my heart, I'm going to yell at somebody at some point for being disrespectful of them, I'm sure. Yeah.
I think the most important thing is to be open and to talk about it.
Yeah.
To do it when you're not in the heat of the battle.
Don't do it.
For
do
one
not,
of a better phrase. But
do not do it in front of your girls.
Right. In private. And you have to be prepared to change your outlook. Because
yes.
you're going to have in your head how the discussion's going to go.
Yeah.
And you have what you've seen and what you perceive.
Right.
And she may perceive things very differently.
Right.
Or she may not even notice that this is going on at all, really.
Was that the case with me, do you think?
Possibly. Possibly.
It was kind of a surprise to me. So.
Yeah.
It felt like a surprise to me. But anyways, I interrupted your thought. Go ahead.
So be prepared to breach it.
Yeah.
But not to fix it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 Yeah.
Because people have to stand away from each other and think on their own and then yeah. come back together later.
Yeah.
You can't just present it and say,
now fix
this is it. And this is what's wrong. And you need to change what you're doing.
Yeah.
And that's not how it's going to work. And that's not going to be the end of it.
Yeah. And frequently.
So be ready to change your mind to hear the other side and to be open.
And I think frequently it's not just, okay, well, you're doing this, so you go fix it.
Right.
Frequently it's, well, yeah, but it's because I'm reacting to you this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we're both looking at, you know, Chooch is looking at the way he phrases things. And I think, you know, I've seen an improvement because we've had a couple discussions over. The first one was not pretty. That's when we said, okay, we'll discuss this later.
And yeah, yeah. I think maybe the first time it came up was in the heat of the moment.
Yeah. But it was just between you and I behind closed doors.
Well, yeah. Yeah. This is why I can never talk to you. Screw it. I'm not.
Yeah.
You know, ever bring it up again.
And I was like, fine.
Which is, yeah. And then later on.
Yeah. Then after we had time to think on it.
You know when you were saying that?
Yeah.
This made me feel this way. And
does it say how old the daughters are?
Mm.
I can't remember. I would warn that if you think you're somewhere where the kids can't hear you, you're probably wrong. They can hear
yeah.
a lot more than you think. And so I would maybe take you and your wife, go to McDonald's or, you know, I don't know what your mm-hmm. budget allows. Go to, you know, Carrabba's where it's nice and loud.
Yeah.
And talk about it away from the kids.
I'm going to guess they're probably, it doesn't say, I'm going to guess they're probably around 10.
Right? Yeah.
So.
And if that's the age, then they're especially inquisitive, especially little girls. Mm-hmm. I think little boys, you could, you know, the boys don't seem to really be intuitive when stuff's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're still very, very cautious. I think with little girls, they're more finely attuned.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would be very, very cautious about not even discussing it when they're in the house, if you're there, or, you know, leave them with someone when you go out and dedicate some real time to it because it is a real issue.
Mm-hmm.
And you've made a bond not only to your wife, but you've also made a bond to the girls.
Mm-hmm.
By marrying, you know, by intermarrying each other. But you've even gone a huge step further in the beautiful act of adopting each other's children, which is something that Chooch and I cannot do because, you know, they have parents that are existing that are in their lives and, you know, all that. So, you know, that is a beautiful thing that you've done. And it also, as you're well aware, it also puts more of a burden on you to be able to fix things and figure things out.
Yeah.
So I would just say, good luck, because it's a really hard issue. And that was something else I wanted to say when I first read it, is that, you know, my brother married his wife, oh man, like 13 years ago or something like that. And she had two daughters from a previous marriage. And they were like 4 and 2. And then they had two boys, RD and GK. They've had a lot of up and downs. And in the beginning, my brother had huge problems with the older daughter. And we chalked it up to, she was 4. She remembered living with her dad. She saw a lot of things that she shouldn't have seen, that you wouldn't want any kid to see. She saw of her father, and that kind of set a tone. She missed her dad, but she was, you know, just kind of reacting to everything. So my brother and her had a lot of problems. They butted heads for years, and they probably still do on some level. Although, you know, it's been a long time and she's grown up now. But it's, I think, always hard when you're introducing a, quote, new parent into the mix. And I think it's initially hard for the kids to accept yet another authority figure. And I don't think you've ever even gotten the, you're not my dad, you can't tell me that. They've never said that to you, have they?
No.
So you've never experienced like that kind of a brunt or anything like that. I think some do, if you believe movies and TV shows. We've never seen that with any of the three boys. I don't know if my brother experienced that, but I think everybody does in a certain level. And I think it's hardest on the kids initially. I think they get used to it. And that's when the grownups start going, wait, okay, what's going on? You know what I mean? I think it's like, initially a big change for the kids, but I think later on making it a routine for the adults is more difficult. And I think that, you know, I think on some level, and this is being really honest, and I don't know if you're going to want to leave it. You know, I do have within my own little addled brain, I have abandonment issues. Not a big shock. You know, when I was a little girl, my parents had problems. My dad went away for a little while and then he came back. Ever since that point, I have never really felt really secure on my feet. And I've known this most of my life. I was in the seventh grade when that happened. And so, I mean, my parents almost split up and my sister was not even a year old. And I remember at the age of 9, 9 and a half, holding my little baby sister in my arms as my parents are telling us that they're going to get a divorce. And I'm just looking at her going, wait, you can't do that. Well, you can't get a divorce now. We have a new baby. This is the happy time. And that my mom even said she knew how much that night broke my heart, because up to that point, I always slept with my bedroom door open. That was the first night that I closed my bedroom door, and I closed my bedroom door every night since then. So that was a really big event in my life. Now, my dad, you know, they were apart for a little while, like 6 weeks or 8 weeks or something. They worked everything out and got back together. They never divorced or anything like that. But it was still one of those moments that makes me always kind of twitchy and always looking around. What's going to happen? What bad thing's going to happen? And then, you know, growing up and, you know, typical relationships, you're together one day, the next day you're not. And then getting married and being married for over 9 years, having two kids, and boom, he walks out. And you know, because this is something we've talked about before, you know that you bear the brunt of those things, because as, as much as we've worked things out, as much as I've grown, I mean, I'm going to be 39 soon. I'm no baby. As much as I've worked on these issues, I still expect you to get up and walk out someday. And I've been very honest about that, is that you are the most perfect match for me that I could ever dream up. We are the same where we need to be the same, and we're different where we need to be different.
Mm-hmm.
We complement each other. And there are those moments where we're just totally simpatico,
mm-hmm.
if that's the right word for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I still expect you someday to go, what the hell am I doing here? And get up and walk out. And that has nothing to do with what I think of our relationship or the value I put on it or the...
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with that. It's that I expect you to leave. And so I guess that probably on some level plays in the back of my mind too.
Mm.
So maybe I would say to Daryl, maybe somewhere in the deep, dark, scary places of your wife's heart, because the birth father, the sperm donor, so to speak, of, you know, your adopted daughter,
mm-hmm.
maybe she kind of has that going on too. You know, you signed up, you married, you adopted, but, you know, maybe, and maybe she doesn't. Maybe that's just me thinking too much about where I'm coming from, but it for me, it's hard to believe that you'll be able to put up with me for 100 years, you know, because no one else sticks around.
Mm.
So, and I say no one else, my mother did not leave on purpose. My right. mother passed away. She did not say, screw you, I'm leaving. You know what I mean? So I get that, but it just feels yeah. like, you know, too deep. But yeah, so I would definitely go with what Chooch is saying. Talk about it away from the kids. Be prepared to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Bring up the conversation. Give points of view. But like he said, you're not going to solve it in one day. Hell, mm-hmm. we haven't solved it, and we've been working yeah. on it for a long time. Not a long time, but,
yeah.
you know, a while. It's still a minefield.
Yeah.
But definitely do it in a place where you aren't accusing or she's not accusing. I think it's really important that you don't use the offensive yeah. phrasings. Yeah. You use the neutral.
You just say, this happens and this is how it makes me feel.
Right.
You don't say, you do this to me.
Yeah. Because that is where it tends to go ugly for us. mm-hmm. That's when you lose the point of the argument and you get into attacks and defenses. So, yeah. And good luck. And you know, hopefully, you know, I tried to be as honest as you were in your email, because it's something that I take very seriously and that I worry about for us. I don't want us to end up breaking up because of something so stupid
mm-hmm.
as how do we handle each other disciplining each other's kids. It's a minor detail when you look at all the big stuff in life,
mm-hmm.
but it's one of those things that festers
mm-hmm.
and grows. So I hope you guys are able to, you know, have a conversation about it. And it may be something that you never can fix.
Right.
It may be a trigger that she can't help.
Right. But just understanding where you're yeah. each coming from goes a long way.
And being, you know, sensitive to it mm-hmm. and respectful of it. Because I know I've got hang-ups with Chooch. Chooch has hang-ups with me. There's stuff that we don't adore about each other.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
part of being in a long-term committed relationship is saying, I don't really like that, but God, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
I really love you. And I want yeah. this to work. So we'll work around it.
Yeah.
So... really good luck with that. I hope it goes well. And congratulations again. It's a beautiful thing that you've done, bringing your families yeah. together like that. Giving your girls, you know, a mommy and a daddy. It's beautiful.
So thanks for sending that, Daryl.
Yeah. I think even this conversation has probably helped us.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Talking about it's good, you know. Mm-hmm. So, yay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. I also want to say thanks to Richard, who sent an email in.
Yeah.
That this is another one that's heavy.
Yeah.
I think we're going to save it for next time because I'm heavied out.
Yeah. Yeah. But we will be discussing it on the next one because it's also very, it's very honest and open. I'm just blown away. You guys are so... I get really floored when I open the email and I see that someone has really put themselves out there to yeah. us. I'm so flattered that you would trust us like that. And also, I think we ought to give it its, you know, own time, you know? So we'll definitely be covering that one in our next episode.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for that email. We have not forgotten or neglected you. I think that's it for episode 23. Thank you for listening. And we'll talk to you in 2 weeks or less.
Or less.
Or less. Yes, we are not going to promise to go weekly. But it will be 2 weeks or less. So if you'd like to leave us a voicemail, give us a call at 413-669-4720. We'd love to hear from you. You can also send an email to intotheblender@gmail.com. Or you can leave a comment on the site at intotheblender.com. And I know we have an iTunes review, but I did not print it off. So thank you, and we'll talk about it next time.
Cool.
Take care, everybody.
Bye. Just sit back and indulge me for a minute. You light the suns in all my worlds. It's hard time you believe. Thanks for listening to Into the Blender.
You can find information, comment on episodes, and subscribe to the podcast at intotheblender.com.
You can send us email to feedback@intotheblender.com.
This podcast is released under a Creative Commons, non-commercial, no derivatives 3.0 license.
You are free to make copies and share this podcast to your heart's content.
Just not modify or make money from it. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm. You say whatever you want.
Pants.